I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I was going to, you know, I was waiting for a pause, a bit of a sigh, because you and I have been working some crazy, crazy days.
We have, but this is, you know, you've said it before, this is an energizing part of our day, so.
It is. It is. We'll probably crash as soon as we're done with with the podcast. But, you know, we're on the third session of For Such a Time as This. This is part three. And I kept saying through the whole thing that there would only be three parts. I think there might be a fourth, but I won't know that for another day or so. So people should just stay tuned. So our first part in this For Such a Time as This was dealt specifically with the leader in a time of crisis. And I used the analogy of, you're on an airplane and they say, in case of emergency, the oxygen mask will drop and make sure you secure the mask to yourself first before helping others. If the leader isn't the person that's getting themselves stabilized first, they can't lead. And really, a time of crisis reveals who the leaders are and who is not a leader. There are some people that say they're leaders. No, they're hikers. They're taking a walk and nobody's following them. There's other people that, for some reason, they simply just rise to the occasion when there's a crisis. And one of the interesting things was, and I heard this just today, I was doing a quick training to kind of get my bearings. So our listeners can know this about me because I shared it a little bit with you, that I had a little bit of a rough day today, and there were times when I really was down. And when I'm in that funk, I just log into one of my mentor's trainings, and it kind of gets me straightened out. But when I was in that, it became really clear this was something that said, if we think about the presidents of the United States that hold meaning in our hearts, all of them were presidents during a time of crisis. And I thought, well, that's really true. Yeah. There were more books written about Abraham Lincoln than any other person. This was the statistic I heard today, in the world type of thing. Now, I would have thought, well, really, thousands of books have been written on Abraham Lincoln. And he wasn't a president that long. It was like 5 years. Shortly after his reelection is when he was assassinated. But he led us through an extreme time of crisis. And so we typically gravitate back to those leaders in our minds that were able to lead us through a time of crisis. So the leader has to secure the mask, get themselves ready. Then last week we talked about, how do we help our followers, how do we help our team members kind of get over the emotional hump, get beyond the fear, process through the fear, because fear is a symptom of our thought life, and get them to a point where now we can help them move forward through the crisis. Because we've said multiple times that opportunity is found in the center of difficulty. So today I want to focus on, all right, we kind of got our emotional bearings again. What do we do next? And the first of the three points that I have for today is, and we, you and I touched on it last week, the optimism versus positivity. I'm a big person about affirmations. I think it's wonderful. I think you know, we really should work on controlling our thought life in terms of, you know, thinking positive thoughts. We've done podcasts where, you know, we need three positives to every negative because negative emotions are stronger. But when it comes to a time of crisis, so I made a couple notes here, a typical statement. So a positive statement might sound like this. Today's going to be a great day. I'm able to tackle everything that comes my way and will be happy, and my life is overflowing with joy. That's a positivity statement. But an optimistic statement says this. I am grateful to be given a new day to live my life and meet the challenges that are ahead of me. I know that if I fail, I can learn from the experience and grow stronger. I know I can do this because I have been through crises and failure before and come away stronger. That's an optimistic statement. So optimism is not being naive. It's not denying reality. It's understanding that I can get through this and believing that better days are coming. We will get through this. I heard this great quote, Marissa, and I know I'm going to say it wrong. Something along the lines of, each one of us is proof that we can rise from failure and make it through a crisis. And if we think about it, because we have already. So a lot of times we miss that. And I know I said it wrong. Whoever said it said, I think it was Michael Hyatt that said it. And he said it so eloquently. But think about it. All of us have faced a crisis of one sort or another.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have failed. We've survived. We are proof that it can be done. So that's really what the optimism part is. And you know, one of the points that I made in a bunch of the podcasts was really to talk about, you know, look what we've already been through. So take stock in it, be optimistic, and and fuel that optimistic mindset for our team. So we have to like help show our teams, hey, you've been through this, we've been through this. This is just another struggle, but we're going to make it through. The second point is being creative versus reactive. And one of the things that we have to realize is that when we are reactive, we are in a protection mode. But when we are creative, we're thinking, we're looking forward. And when we get to that point, the heightened urgency and focus that the crisis brings actually helps us identify, embrace, and modify mm-hmm. and innovate, which leads us to growth. So the leader has to help each one on the team realize, you know what? We're not going to react. We're going to create. We're going to literally create the new normal
mm-hmm.
that's out there.
I think we talked about this a little bit last week, right?
We did, yes.
I couldn't remember if it was
toward the end of the podcast.
I couldn't remember if it was on the podcast or outside of it. But, you know, I think there's that natural phase of reaction with
yes,
with the crisis. Your crisis management is reactive.
Yep.
I think we're in week, I don't know, four. I think I'm counting this as my fourth week because I think you guys have been working from home for 3 weeks, but the thread of this all was 4 weeks. I don't know.
That's about right. Yeah.
I think this is my week four. I'm counting it as my week
okay,
four.
Sure.
But it was like that first week was, I remember thinking, I can't do this. Like, I can't right. live like this and work yeah. like this. And I was terrified because I had my kids at home and I was working, you know, I'm a part-time employee typically, but I was working more than full-time hours with my kids at yep. home with no childcare. My husband was still at work and I was reacting, right? Like it was crisis management. I was reacting on the home front. I was reacting on the work front. And then I was able to get creative in both and kind of move into this phase where, okay, let's get creative. Let's figure out what we can do with this. As Randy would say, we're not going to waste a crisis.
Right.
And we were able to kind of transition right into this
yes.
new place where we are now, which isn't normal, but it's not right. crisis management. And I mean, we've shared more ideas in the last couple of weeks as we've tried to find that level of creativity to move out of reaction. And
exactly.
while, you know, we both shared, we had days today. They're not quite as crazy as they were when we were in that reactive mode.
Exactly. And, you know, the beauty of, and you said that so well, the beauty of moving beyond reaction to creativity is creativity energizes us.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows us to, well, that's the beauty of being created as human beings with the ability to choose our attitudes, choose our decisions, and create, you know, where other parts of creation don't have the ability to create, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're designed that way. And it energizes us when we can create. So rather than worrying about the fear, you shift to create the new reality. I heard today, just today, that within, I think it's a very short period of time, like a week or two, General Motors and Ford will be delivering ventilators.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of our members is making the switches.
Yeah, exactly. General Motors and Ford make cars.
Yeah.
But in listen, for a guy that used to work in a factory that manufactured products, not Selflock, we machine parts for manufacturers, but I worked for companies that manufactured. It took forever to get a product off the ground and running. and we're talking weeks. One of my sons told me today that my son Jeremy told me today, he sent me a text that yesterday Ford Motor Company delivered 1,200 plastic face shields to Krauss Hospital. So not only are they working on ventilators, they're making face shields. He said the only disappointing thing was there was no blue Ford oval on it. I thought, well, that would have been cool, but I'd be saying, hey, can you snag me one of those? No, I can't do that. It all has to go to our healthcare providers. But that's the creative part.
And I think when we're being reactive, you really can't mess that up. It's hard. It's when you're being reactive, you really can't afford to fail in that reactionary mode. But when you're being creative, there's that freedom to try something and maybe not get it right the first time. You know, maybe, like you learned from it and then you can try again and recreate. And it's more freeing than being in that reactive place where it's also a fearful place when you're reacting.
Yes. I love how you said that. It's freeing when we can move to the creative part. I was hearing some interesting things that there were companies that, so one of the problems that they were thinking when we wouldn't have had enough ventilators, you know, there are the manual bags that, I don't know what they're called, AMBU bags, whatever they are, that where, you know, a medical provider can literally depress the bag and help the person breathe. And while they realized that it was going to be tougher to get ventilators up to speed, there was a company in Pennsylvania developing a device to pump the bag.
Wow.
So you just think outside the box. And I remember listening to an interview with the doctor who's in charge of infectious disease at Upstate Medical, and he was former military. And he just said, people would say, well, we don't have this. And he goes, I don't care what you have or don't have. We need to find a solution. And he didn't mean it in a bad way. It's just when you're in a war zone, when you're in a battle, you can't get everything that you'd like. So what do we have that we can work with? And that's the creative piece. It gives us, it, you know, it's freeing because we're doing something.
Right.
Rather than waiting for somebody else to do it for us. Yep. Or waiting for some inevitable event to occur. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said that's so great. I love that. It's freeing. I'm going to probably steal that, Marissa, going forward.
Go for it. I probably got it from you to begin with.
So the third one is rapid growth. And this one is kind of my favorite. No surprise that I think so favorite. My favorite would be growth. But one of the things that happens is whenever there's a crisis, we get very, very distracted and we lose traction. And the best leaders get us focused again. They use the focus of the crisis, the urgency of the crisis, to refocus our thoughts on things that are important. And what happens is you can learn things very quickly when you're in this heightened sensitivity, a heightened awareness piece. So the goal for the leader is to get your team focused on growth again. And I made a note here for myself. If you haven't changed anything significant in your life since COVID-19 hit, you've already missed some opportunities. Let me say that again. If you haven't changed anything significant in your life since COVID-19 hit, you've already missed some opportunities. Because as you said, for you, this is week four. It's week three for us. If we didn't see some opportunities, someone else would have. And we would have lost out. You know, just the growth opportunities that are out there for people. Online classes. All of MacNee's classes are online now. So if somebody's sitting home and they're not able to work, take a class. That you've talked about this a lot, the free classes that are online. And it's all out there, but you have to kind of flip the switch to get into that growth mindset, or hopefully your leader will help you do that. Every crisis brings about new things. One of the notes I put in my email that went out this morning was, you know, I talked about just the crises that I've lived through in my 58 years. Our country's been around for 244 years as a nation. And it's been through multiple crises. The Spanish flu of 1918 what came out of that was epidemiology and the realization that there needed to be a health policy in the United States. So all the states would be able to communicate and share medical information with one another. And what came out of that was the reality that we could not have citizens, you know, in this country, people living in our country that didn't have health care. So from that, no one has ever been turned away from a hospital that needed care. Now, that's also the reason why hospital rates are so high, because not everybody has the insurance. But I remember once hearing, I was at a meeting once with health administrators from the major hospitals, and they basically said that 45% of the people in those facilities do not have health care, which means, he said, you guessed it, the rest of you that do pay for it. Okay, but they're not denied care. Nobody showing up in an emergency room is sent away. Why? Because if we don't take care of people, pandemics will happen frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought that was just an outstanding thing that came from the worst pandemic that our country's ever had. So Marissa, from your perspective, share what's changed. So things that MACNY's doing now that we didn't do 3 weeks ago.
We have a ton of webinars. I mean, in addition to the online training that you mentioned, which you had done a couple of times, but not regularly. We're doing that. We've got some of our external training partners offering online training too.
Mm-hmm.
We've got right. our webinars that, you know, we had done a lot of hybrid events where yep. in the past we'd have most of the people in the room, but those who couldn't make it join digitally. Well, now everyone is joining digitally. All of our staff communications have gone online. We're using different collaboration tools to communicate with each other all day long beyond email and beyond phone.
Right.
We have, what else are we doing? Well, we're kind of shifting things on our website as resources become available. We're trying to share them, and it's actually gotten to at the time of this recording, at least, hopefully by the time this is released, this isn't the case, but our resource list has gotten to be so large that we're actually going to have to kind of overhaul that part of our website to be a little more user friendly. So I mean, we're continually improving and changing as our world continues to change.
Right, right. In a matter of like literally days, things changed. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were always known as the place where manufacturers go for information on manufacturing related topics. Manufacturing-related legislation.
Mm-hmm.
We became a resource for people to go to for COVID-19 information. I mean, it was so neat for me when people would reach out to me and say, hey, what about this? And I could just go to our website.
Mm-hmm.
That was so how many times per day was stuff being added typically, do you think?
Oh, multiple times per day. I'd say, in the last day or so, I've gotten away with like once or twice a day.
Yeah.
The first week it was like so many times that I would lose track because things were just moving so fast. And as those executive right. orders were rolling out, they were,
yep.
you know, moving even faster. And it was a little crazy there. But yeah, I mean, even still now, it's a couple times a day on the resource page alone. And that's outside of, we also have a YouTube page that we're starting to, we had used it a little bit in the past, but now we've got Randy doing video updates regularly. They're on our YouTube channel. You're going to be doing more work there.
Yeah.
So we're finding new ways to reach our membership and trying to meet everyone where they're at. Like some people prefer to read the email, but
yep.
other people mm-hmm. would rather, you know, put their AirPods in their ears, start the video and listen to it.
Yes, exactly.
Or listen to our podcast in that way. So we're really trying yep. to meet everyone where they're at so that they're getting the information that they want the way they want it.
Right, exactly. And we are doing things that we never, ever would have thought about doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them I remember having Congressman Katko, we did like a web teleconference with him with the board at MACNY.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we've done two open up to all of our members and non-members.
And I'm doing another on Thursday.
Another one on Thursday, exactly. Uh-huh. With so you know, the beauty of this is these are literally, we have opened the door for people to talk with their congressional representatives, something MACNI never did before.
Mm-hmm.
And our representatives love it because they get to interact with their constituents. But my point was, this had to happen quickly. We had to figure things out on the fly. You know, you had to figure out, how do I run a WebEx when in the middle of it, somebody else takes control of the host position and you get knocked out? And these are all skills that you were learning very, very quickly.
Yeah.
In real time.
Yeah.
And none of us ever even knew it happened. That's how quickly you picked up on it. So that's what I talk about with rapid growth. I was just on the training that I did this morning. I did a training. I finished up Crucial Conversations just in time to jump on another training video with one of my mentors. And he said, you know, we're going to keep releasing these trainings free of charge through the middle of May.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we will not sell a product until the middle of May. But he hasn't stopped doing what he's doing in terms of training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, you know, just finding ways to create a service for people. One of the things that as I was putting my notes together for this podcast, I had to think about what my church went through.
Yeah.
Churches are supposed, a church is a place where people gather. That's the physical structure. Some would say, no, the church are the people that gather there. But we went from one Sunday to the next, realizing that we couldn't let people gather in the building. And mm-hmm. And I remember vividly, it was like within 48 hours, so maybe on a Monday or a Tuesday morning, I sent a text to one of the gentlemen at our church and said, would you, because he was going to teach a Wednesday night Bible study. I said, could you do that via Zoom? Without a heartbeat, he just said, yes. I mean, it was like almost an instantaneous yes. And before I could respond, he sent an email out to everybody he had email addresses for within our church with an invite to a Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We have more people attending our midweek Bible studies than we did before. Okay. But now this is still Wednesday. And all of a sudden, well, and I'll just say who it is. I was going to say a young man. But so Tim, who edits our podcasts, came to me and said, we need to live stream our Sunday morning service. I said, Tim, how are you going to do that? He goes, don't worry about it. You just plan the service and I'll make sure this works. The first Sunday, and then he called me into his room one evening, might have been like Thursday or Friday night, and he had shown me where he didn't know how to do this before, went online, learned how to use Lightstream and YouTube Studio. So Lightstream he used to create all the visuals, the different scenes that you need to put within. So literally in days, he had all this set up. Now we didn't have a good camera, but we had a webcam. He sticks a webcam on top of a ladder in our sanctuary and tapes it in place and says, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Before, even before that, he wasn't happy with that webcam. So he ordered another one. The second webcam came on Monday. By the following week, it was refined. This past weekend, he was working. I had to go in and run the video thing, and that was a frightening thing. So talk about having rapid growth in a hurry. It's like, even though I I took a video on my phone
mm-hmm.
of him showing me how to click through all these things, I still messed it up. And with about 9 minutes to go before we went live, I lost all the stuff he had set up for me. And he's working in the NICU. So I just called him and he just said, I can't talk now. And he hung up because he was in the middle of rounding on patients. Next thing I know, the screen says, Tim Freund has taken over your screen. And from his phone, while the other doctors and people were rounding on patients, because he had a minute, he reconstructed the whole thing. And then handed it back to me so that I, within 5 minutes, so he did that in 4 minutes. 5 minutes before I went to the 5 minute warnings, you know, splash screen. And at 10:30, I could hit go live and it went live and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
this weekend, you know, we have a because this is, as we're recording this, it's before Easter. We have a Good Friday service and an Easter morning service, and he's got the new camera in place. Everything's in place. But that happened. We would not have done that had there not been a crisis.
Right.
And now, you know, when I look at how many downloads or views, rather, in YouTube, it's views, these messages are getting, we never would have gotten that had we not had a crisis. So that's my point about rapid growth. I'm excited about what's going to happen with my training. I'm excited about what's going to happen at MACNE. I think that we have increased because of this rapid growth of us learning things quickly and churning things out really, really fast. Now, they're not perfect, but they work. You know, if you would go on our church's YouTube channel, the first message that was live streamed, the picture's not too great. And the second one, there were problems with the computer's processor was too slow and the video was a little jerky. Well, that's all fixed now. It's all fixed. But you just do it. So that's mm-hmm. the key too with this rapid growth. Don't wait to be perfect. Just start something.
Yeah.
And get it better as you go. There's one warning I need to give to all the leaders. I've given you 3 steps over 3 weeks. It's not a linear process. And by that, I mean, you're going to have to go back and rebuild trust and rebuild. People are going to fall into a fear thing again. A family member might get sick. You know, the county executive might say shelter in place, voluntary, whatever. And people's panics are going to start up again. Just breathe. Take your people back, help them process the fears, and then you'll be able to get back on the path. Any thoughts about what I said?
No, I mean, I think I'm glad you came back to that this is not linear and that you'll have right. to go back. I mean, just maintaining where step one, like getting yourself in yeah. the right frame of mind. I mean, like yep. continuing to put your oxygen mask on. And then helping your people, I think that's, you know, I have my family and that's kind of
yes
where I'm at. It's like constantly remembering, okay, like I have to be in the right frame of mind to take care of all of these things.
Right. Right.
And that, I think that's really important to mention that it's not just like, okay, I followed all 9 steps or however yeah. many were.
Yeah, exactly. I have arrived. You can't just say, okay, Dave, give me the 10th.
Right.
No, you may have to go back and do 1 and 2 and 3 or 1 mm-hmm. and 5 mm-hmm. and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, so maybe that's what we talk about next week is, okay, now I've given the tools. How do we manage this process?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's going to be messy.
Yeah.
But it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, and like you and I've talked, you know, today I had to get back to getting the oxygen mask on. I was frustrated. I was tired. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, fine. Now, are you going to sit there and whine and complain, or are you going to get up and do something about it?
Mm-hmm.
So I whined and complained for a little bit, but I knew what would take me to that back to where I needed to be, and I reengaged with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we'll talk about next week is, you know, how do we manage this process going forward and maybe even build on it once the crisis subsides? Anything new happening? Is your family doing anything different or new since you're homebound?
I mean, beyond spending all of our time together, we've gotten really creative with our meals, right? Like,
okay.
You also had a birthday parade. Yes.
Tell us about the birthday parade.
Really creative with birthdays this year. So Isla turned 4 and we, of course, could not have a party. And we instead invited our friends and family to come parade by the house, you know, stay in their cars. And yep. we went and stood outside and had some music playing, and Isla had her balloons and her bubbles That's and awesome. All her things. And the parade came. They turned the corner to our street. They were, you know, beeping their horns. They had banners. They had all kinds of things. Great. They had bells and a couple dogs in the car, which brought some excitement. And just really cheered her on and celebrated her. And, you know, honestly, it was great. I didn't have to clean up my house before or after this party. I did not have to make dinner for everyone. I did not have to entertain at all. So I, you know, my dad said we should always do it this way.
And you know what? She had a birthday that will be one for the memory books, so to speak.
Yep. And we're doing the same thing for my cousin's daughter this weekend. So we've got we've got a birthday parade to attend.
Super. Mm-hmm. So see there, creative ideas. You could have just sat and whined and complained and broke your daughter's heart and said, no birthday, we're stuck at home. Oh. But you found a way.
We found a way and we decorated like crazy and had a pinata.
Awesome. That's terrific. Super. Well, congratulations on thinking through the problem to a solution. The one thing I want to close just to all of our listeners, find a way to thank a healthcare provider.
Yeah.
Because they are in the middle of a battle and the enemy that's there can't be seen. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, keep the healthcare providers in your thoughts and prayers and find a way to thank them. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.